One option gives an infected patient a transfusion of blood from those who have recovered from Ebola. Their plasma, the liquid part of the blood, contains antibodies that have successfully fought off the virus. The process of separating the plasma and its antibodies from the blood of survivors is called plasmapheresis. Dr. David Heyman says it was used in 1976 during the first Ebola outbreak in what was then Zaire, now the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Recently, an American doctor infected in Liberia, Kent Brantley, received a transfusion from an Ebola survivor. And the New York Times cites a professor of virology in Nigeria who says the procedure is being considered using the blood taken from 5 survivors in the country. Dr. Heyman is a professor of infectious disease epidemiology at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. He also led a response team during another Ebola outbreak in Kikwit, Zaire, in 1995. And he led the global effort that put an end to the SARS, or Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome, pandemic 11 years ago.
I myself stayed 2.5 months after the first Ebola outbreak in 1976 and did plasmapheresis, which is what it's called, on survivors in order that that blood could be stored around Africa. And it was used a couple times in outbreaks. Then in 1995, at the Kikwit outbreak, again, the government decided that they would use serum in 8 patients. And so they collected blood from survivors, and they gave these 8 patients that blood, and 7 of them survived, 1 died.
Dr. Heyman says it's not clear whether the antibodies were behind the survival of the 7 infected patients, and further study is necessary to verify the procedure's effectiveness. Another potential approach is to test existing drugs that may help Ebola patients. Many of these are generic and inexpensive. A New York Times editorial suggests medications that are already used to disable other viruses, as well as drugs that modulate the immune system's inflammatory response. That's the defensive action taken by the body against the virus, which sometimes can lead to organ failure and other deadly complications. Among these drugs is Lipitor, which is used to reduce cholesterol. Dr. Heyman and others support the approach of studying medicines shown to be effective against Ebola in animal studies.
Well, I think that before any medication would be used, it would need to be shown to be effective, at least in an animal model. But again, they should not be used unless they're used in a clinical trial setting. Possibly, the countries might decide that they want to try them in the country, but it's the countries themselves that make these decisions, and hopefully WHO would support them in those decisions.
Currently, some countries are quarantining neighborhoods and villages. They've also created roadblocks and patrols to prevent infected persons from crossing borders. And some are proposing protective barriers or buffers around infected villages called cordon sanitaire. Dr. Heyman says in his view, that's not the most effective approach.
All cordon sanitaire would do would be to stop legal and legitimate travel and commerce. But, you know, with porous borders, which are many times what occurs in Africa, where there aren't border patrols and people would go across, back and forth across borders without control, it would be setting up a false security. What's more important is that everybody understands the disease and how to deal with it. In the Kikwit outbreak, for example, the government of the Democratic Republic of Congo put up a cordon sanitaire around the area where the outbreak was occurring. The people were just crossing at areas where there weren't forces enforcing that cordon sanitaire, and they went into the river on boats and went to neighboring villages in boats.
Dr. Heyman says the best response was learned in Kikwit nearly 40 years ago. Stopping an outbreak means improving hospitals so infections do not spread to health workers and other patients, and tracing everyone who's come in contact with a person infected with Ebola. They would be put under surveillance and hospitalized if they develop a fever caused by the virus. The community must also understand how the virus is spread. It's transmitted by contact with the infected person's bodily fluids, including vomit, urine, or diarrhea. Transmission often occurs during caregiving, transport, or as part of traditional burial practices, such as washing or touching the body. Dr. Heyman says the outbreak would likely have been under control in Guinea earlier this year if these measures had been taken when Ebola was first detected. I'm William Eagle in Washington.